Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Joe DiBiase. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Always such a soothing type of open. You know, I mean, as far as sports opens go, Joe, usually it's something really cool, and then you have the Masters, which come in as such a gentle. And it works. It works for golf for sure, but you know, is it one of the more recognizable? Then maybe not that music for sure, but I don't know. I guess you could, you know, when they have the CBS like promo come up, people can recognize it. It's just like they do a lot of other sports themes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to be. You don't quite get what truth. I mean, you do get juiced up, though, right? That's the power of the Masters. The music doesn't imply that you're going to get fired up, pumped up, but like you, I still do for all of it. Magnolia Lane, the Azaleas.
That's right. Amen,
all of it.
What's going on right now with the Masters? I haven't even been. I haven't had a chance. I know it was delayed this morning. I saw that. But I'm not really sure exactly what's happened like in the last 2 hours. I haven't been able to pay attention to it.
The weather's starting to clear up there, and we are about 25 minutes from the first tee times. Jake Knapp and Eric Van Ruyen are the first two that'll be off. And you'll start to get some bigger names. When's the first like big name that tees off? But yeah, like a 2.5 hour delay because of weather, and everything from this morning or this afternoon through to Sunday looks clear. So it shouldn't be a week of this. The big names usually are a little after 12 to tee off, and then Tiger will be 3:54. So basically everyone got pushed back like 2.5 hours.
Okay, now I feel really horrible not knowing this, but I had no idea until Josh just told me that there's an opening ceremonies at the Masters. Like, I didn't... Yeah. Like, what does that entail?
It used to be... For a while, it would be Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, and Gary Player would all hit a ceremonial opening tee shot. All three of them would hit a tee shot off one. And it would basically be the guy from the Masters, like, introducing everybody to, like, and now the start of the Masters. Like he kind of opens it, basically, like opening the stock exchange. and then Nicholas and Palmer.
Do they ring
Player.
The bell? I don't think they ring a bell though on the first tee.
I don't know if they have a bell.
I don't know. Maybe they do. I did know that about those guys, like going early, but I didn't know that was like part of an opening ceremony.
Yes.
Like I'm thinking Olympics opening ceremonies. You know, you could have the players come out with their flags or something.
Right. No, that's what it is, basically, is they introduce everyone, and then those three hitting their tee shots is like the bell. And they obviously don't play past the first tee shot. And then since Arnold Palmer passed away, I think it's just Nicholas and Player now that do it. But as soon as Tiger's not playing in this competitively, he should absolutely, I think, be the third guy that joins that ceremony.
Ooh, yeah. Tiger will play later in the day, and I did see it's not Tiger Tracker anymore. There's another Tiger Twitter account that I follow, and it does keep track of Tiger, and they were talking about the wind. That is the one, look, you know me, I would rather play in hot weather than cooler weather. I know you like cooler weather for golf. Mm-hmm. I hate playing in wind. I hate playing golf in wind. I just think you want pure conditions, right? It's like playing football in a dome. It's the same thing with, I want Josh Allen to be able to throw in a dome, not throw in a windy day. And even though he can be better than the other quarterback, I totally understand that. But golf on a windy day is tough. Now, these guys, it doesn't matter as much when it's 20-mile-an-hour winds. But I did read that they're thinking maybe gusts up to 30 today, actually.
Okay, so maybe you might want to be a big hitter then a little bit more to cut through the wind a little bit.
I think so.
And Tiger,
I'm in a pool. Are you in a Masters pool?
I am in... kind of. It's like a fantasy golf pool, kind of. So it's every week, but the Masters is more.
Oh.
And then you throw a couple of wagers down as well along the way. I don't think I'm in a pool. I got invited to one. I wonder if it's not too late. There's still 25 minutes to go until people tee off, so. And honestly.
Well,
the
one that I'm in, because it was delayed, the actual cutoff time was the original start time, so. You couldn't get in. If you're not in now, you can't get in, even though it was delayed, if that makes sense.
Right. Maybe it depends if you're doing it like by... Does anyone do it by hand anymore? Who's out there with an Excel sheet that wants to get me into their pool?
That's a good question. Okay, so in my pool, what happens is you have to choose... There's groups. Choose one guy from this group, two guys from this group, one guy from this group, mm-hmm. and so on. And it's always tough because, obviously, the top group is the favorites and the best golfers. And I just struggled between, I'm looking at the top group, it's got all your big time names and favorites, and I went with Jon Rahm. And it was between him and Scottie Scheffler. I could only choose one of them, but I went with Jon Rahm for that group.
Okay. You're banking on a repeat, right? He won it last
year.
Yeah. He also, I heard Brian Koziel on this yesterday with Chopin the Bulldog. He'll be on a lot next couple of days. He did not have Rahm in his golf bet with Chopin Bulldog.
Ooh.
Because, how did he put it? Basically, Rahm this year has played in two tournaments at resort courses in shorts. So he's like, I'm just going to bet on he's not ready for Augusta. I don't know that I would subscribe to that. I understand Brian's logic. I don't know. We'll see. The LIV stuff is still kind of untested, right? Like, we don't really know if... Mm-hmm. If you're actually any less likely to win because you haven't been playing tournament after tournament after tournament. I mean, other than we know Koepka won a major last year doing that. So I don't know if we know yet if that's a disadvantage.
Now, I don't have all the names in each group here for you, but I could tell you who I have. I have Rahm, and then
okay.
I have Cam Smith and Jordan Spieth. There were two from Group B I got to choose.
Okay.
Those are the two guys I chose. Cam Smith and Jordan Spieth. I'm a Cam Smith fan. I think that he's fantastic. And of course, Jordan Spieth should. How can you think he's not going to be involved in some way, right? That's what I think about. And then as it goes down, I have Brian Harman, Harris English, and Danny Willett. Those are my.
Okay.
That is my group.
All right, I like it. Speaking of Spieth, one of the bets I have on this is that he'll be the round one leader. I saw a lot of good stuff on him, and he has a lot of good first days. At majors, so I'm into Spieth. He'll lose his mind on Sunday because something's not going well for him, but, you know, he's competitive, at least.
The 10:30 start time is Eric Van Rooyen, I hope I say his name right, and Jake Knapp. And if you look at Jake Knapp, I saw the picture, I thought it was Cam Smith. Have you seen Jake Knapp?
I have not, no.
Jake Knapp and Cam Smith look like they're brothers, they're twins.
Huh. The long hair and the mustache?
I'm looking at. Yes.
Okay. Let's see.
Can you look him up? Look up Jake Knapp. K-N-A-P-P.
He does very...
And tell me he doesn't like
He looks
Smith.
Like Cam Smith. He's got the same vibe going of the
yes.
mullet and the mustache. Yeah. And
yes.
the blondish hair.
So those are your first two to tee off today. Good morning. It is April 11th. We are, excuse me, 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. 2 weeks from tonight. When will the Bills pick, though? Will they pick 28? Will they be higher than that? Will they be lower than that? I still keep thinking they're not going to pick at 28 just because, I mean, they rarely pick under Brandon Bean where they're scheduled to pick anyway. And the moves that they made keep the trail of breadcrumbs keep telling me that, you know, they're going to make a move in some way, shape, or form. I just don't know if they can get up as high as maybe even they'd like to, or it could be possible what it would cost to do it, especially considering how flush this draft is with wide receivers. But speaking of them, Joe, today we're going to call it Texas Longhorns Day today. Eric Henry, not Derrick Henry, Eric Henry covers the Texas Longhorns, and he's going to join us at 11:05 to talk about A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Worthy. So we got a couple of different Longhorns in this draft that the Bills and other teams obviously, you know, could be very interested in. So we'll talk with him. We have Paul Hamilton coming up at 10:30. It is the final Sabres home game of the season tonight. It is fan appreciation night. And I mean, there's a lot of, I'm sure there's snide remarks and jokes and comments, and I get it. I mean, this is always scheduled. Whether I think you could tell me, Joe, it's been so long. I think they do fan appreciation night even if they make the playoffs, right? I think that they would do that.
Yep.
It's always scheduled. You can't just say, like, we're only going to do it if it's not, you know, playoffs and there's more home games. But I would think this is normally scheduled. So either way, it's going to be fan appreciation night tonight. And I don't know what the reception is going to be for the team. I don't know what kind of crowd to expect. Alex Ovechkin is in town. He is playing in this game, I presume. I haven't seen anything different from that. But should be interesting down at the arena tonight, but another disappointing season for the Sabres. I do wonder what tonight's environment's going to be like now that they are playing their first game after being officially eliminated from the playoffs.
Yeah. I think it should be relatively tame unless the game... I mean, if the game is poor, it's going to sound like it has, which is... fans unhappy, and given that this is the finality of the season, that there is a finality to it, there are definitely outcomes that it could be ugly that I'm really hoping don't happen, that aren't kind of the, you know, the final, your final instinct going into the season, your final vibe check going into the off season. I mean, if they lose this game, it doesn't even have to be by a lot, but if they lose 3-2, and then what happens? Do they go to center and salute the fans? Do they raise their sticks? Because that might not be the best idea in this situation. Like, I don't think you're going to get a very positive reception to that. It is the jersey off your back night,
right,
of course, at the end, too. So they'll still be on the ice. Maybe they just go to that and they hand the fans their jerseys. But it's almost in a way, it's a big game to win just so that we don't have to deal with the potential uncomfortable situations at the end of it.
Right. No, I agree with that. And, yeah, I don't know. I mean, isn't it ironic what you just said? I'm thinking about the saluting the fans after everything that happened this year, and tonight might be a night where they do it even after they lose. I don't know. It's just such a – it's a weird – I don't even know about weird is the word. I'm just so disappointed that we can't have a hockey team here into the playoffs when it's so easy to make it, it seems like, in the NHL, right? It should be so easy to make it.
Mm-hmm.
The 13 years in the NHL without a playoff appearance is far worse than 17 years in the NFL, right? I'm right about that, right?
Yes, I think it is. I mean, what percentage of teams got into the playoffs when the Bills were missing all those years? What was it, like 12?
What percentage? What do you mean?
Like 12 out of 32 teams in the NFL would make the playoffs?
Oh,
when
yeah,
the Bills
yeah,
had their drought?
So, yeah, they didn't expand it until after the Bills had broken the drought.
So basically like a little less than a third, or a little more than a third of teams would get in. In the NHL, half the teams get in, and for more than half the drought, more than half the teams got in. And you still couldn't get in? There was one tweet I saw earlier today. This is just shows how unbelievable what they've done here in 13 years is. The fact that it's never happened before in the league by 3 years is already unbelievable. But given that 50% of the teams make the playoffs, if you compute that all together, that would mean the chances of the average franchise missing the playoffs 13 straight years are 1 in 8,192. Like, it shouldn't be possible what they've done here. And I know it's not just them. It's not just Adams. It's not just Granato. It's not just H. Thompson and Tuck and all these guys. Like, they're here at the end of it. Hopefully it's the end of it and not the middle. They're not on the hook for all of it, but there is a weight to the playoff drought. Maybe the same way that the Bills had at some point, where if you are signing up to become a coach here or someone in management here or a player, you have to take ownership of it. There is a weight that comes with that drought that I think has to be carried by the team until they actually break it. And that's one area that I always appreciated what Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean did when they got here, which is they showed right up and said, "Yeah, we're the coach and GM now. Like, we own the drought." And I feel like the way this season has gone, it's been a lot of the team and maybe more so even the players wanting to detach themselves from it. When your fans can't detach themselves from it. They're living it. And that, I think maybe that's where a lot of the tension has been between the two sides.
Alex Ovechkin in town tonight. I have always had this, I don't hate Alex Ovechkin in any regard. Like, I like him. He's fantastic to watch. I've always hated the fact that he's going to break Wayne Gretzky's record, though, Joe. I have to be quite honest.
Really? You hate that? Well, go ahead. Yeah.
I mean, I grew up Gretzky, right? I mean, like, Gretzky was the guy. Like, oh my God, nobody will ever be as good. Like, the romanticism of having a player you watch be so great and thinking how great he is, I think to me, having a guy come along as great as Ovechkin is, I never wanted Gretzky's records to be broken because I still want to tell you how great Wayne Gretzky is compared to everybody else, if that makes sense. I don't want to lose the romanticism of Gretzky being the greatest player I've ever seen and no one will ever be as good, because that's what I've always believed. And here comes Alex Ovechkin ready to break his goal record. Now, granted, Alex Ovechkin is nowhere near the assists of Wayne Gretzky, right? I mean, in points.
Oh, sure.
And okay, so right. I would still tell you Wayne Gretzky, to me, is still the greatest hockey player who ever lived.
Sure.
I understand it's different eras. I understand that the goalies wore basically shin guards or pads back then, right? And, you know, it was totally different the way they played. I've never wanted him to break the record, and I'm not going to love it when he does it, to be quite honest. I'm not hating on Ovechkin at all. I'm just loving on Gretzky.
Yeah, I get that. That is reasonable. I love Ovechkin. I really have loved Ovechkin for a while now. I mean, maybe even since the Cup. Like, when he won the Cup, and you could just, I mean, not that it doesn't mean anything to anybody else, but how much that thing meant to him, because for his whole career, he was the guy that everyone said, yeah, incredible goal scorer, but lazy, right? That was attached to him, and you can't win the big one, was him. And then he lifted it, and then partied for 3 months after. And, you know, you gotta love that part of Ovechkin, I think. And he just became very likable to me. He became a face of the league that part of the reason I've liked him is I think he leaned into being the face of the league, having a personality, and I just feel like the other guy, Crosby, never wanted it. Never, ever, ever had any interest of being the face of hockey. And I think Ovechkin maybe was a better way of growing the game because of his style and the swag of how he wears his equipment and the visor and the laces. And I don't know, you just always saw his personality come out. So I've always liked him. And more than that, I think a bigger reason that I will like when he breaks the record is I can't believe he's actually going to do it. Like, just the sheer incredibleness of the fact that it will be broken. I never thought a Gretzky record would be broken. All his records are incredible. You just brought up the assists. Right. I saw a thing yesterday on social media that if you look at the top assist seasons, single season assist records of all time NHL, this is how it goes. Number one, Gretzky. Number two, Gretzky. Number three, Gretzky. Number four, Gretzky. Number six, Gretzky. Number seven, Gretzky. Number eight, Gretzky. Like, he's the top.
That's amazing.
He's the top eight assist seasons ever. He's absolutely the best player of all time. But just never thought we'd see the day where one of his records gets broken. And because of how rare that is. That's why I want to see it happen, because I don't think any of Gretzky's other records will ever be broken. This is like the only one that there's even a shot at it.
It's not only Gretzky for me, though. It's also those Oilers teams, Joe. Like, I've long believed. I have, you know, when people say, give me a sports opinion that you stand firm on or you have a hot take on. Here's mine, okay? And I've always said this. I think the 80s Oilers, to me, there has been no greater collection of talent on any team sports team ever than what we saw in the 80s Oilers. I think that is the greatest collection of talent on one group ever for an extended period of time, like 2, 3, 4 years. Even if you want to say 1 year, 2 years, whatever.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I didn't watch the Lakers and Celtics of the 50s and 60s and the Yankees in the 60s or the 20s, 1927 Murderers Row Yankees, right? But for me, in my lifetime, no one will ever touch the amount of talent those teams had. You're talking about that stat you just gave. I'm going to give you another one, Joe. Have you ever looked at the career points totals in the playoffs? Like, if all-time career playoff leader point totals. You ever looked at it?
I mean, I probably have at some point, but I don't, not off the top of my head.
Now, granted, in the playoffs have expanded, you know, over the last several years. And, you know, we've had, remember, they only used to play even a best of five early on. So this makes it even more remarkable. I'm going to read to you, Joe, the most points ever in career playoffs in the NHL, starting at the top. Number one, Wayne Gretzky, 382. Number two, obviously, Edmonton Oilers. Number two, Mark Messier, Edmonton Oilers. Number three, Jari Kurri, Edmonton Oilers. Number four, Glenn Anderson, Edmonton Oilers. It wasn't until recently that five was taken over from an Edmonton Oiler, Paul Coffey, who was number five. Now it's Jaromir Jagr and Sidney Crosby. Joe, the top four, and it was five for the longest time, all-time playoff point getters were on the same damn team for 4 years.
That's incredible. One of which was defenseman, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah. It's the best. I mean, it's never going to be touched. It's the best team of all time.
Oh,
the best dynasty, whatever you want to put it.
I just think the greatest collection of talent, right? And I know the Bulls had some, and you know Jordan and Pippen and what, but come on, they did not have this type of group that for that many people. And by the way, their goalie was Grant Fuhr, who was really good as well. And they had other guys who were really good down the list on those teams. But that's why, going back to the Ovechkin discussion, like I just have such an affinity for those Oilers teams of the 80s. And we talked about weeks ago, before I went on vacation, the Islanders right before them were the first dynasty I remember, right? The Islanders were the first dynasty of my lifetime. They win in 80, 81, 82, 83. The Oilers lose in 83 to the Islanders, and then they win the next three cups. But those teams, no one could match them. And growing up, you know the way it is, Joe. When you're 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, aren't those such incredibly sports impressionable years on you that you hold those teams in regard? Like you do,
sure.
Like you were so lucky to have those teams for the Buffalo Sabres when you were that age.
Yes. Yeah, no, totally. Yeah. I mean, and that is Ovechkin for me a little bit too, right? Like
That's right.
He's in the league at 05-06. Like that is me coming up as a Sabre fan and as a hockey fan. I mean, that's when hockey becomes my favorite sport at the time, and even still. But I'm 10, 11 years old when Ovechkin is got the tinted visor and is on his back scoring goals against the Coyotes you still see the highlight of, and scoring 60 as a rookie, and then, you know, obviously goes on to have the career he has. That's part of it, too. And I'm at that end of that stage, right? Like, this is now happening for me a lot. With hockey, it already happened in football, but in hockey, it's the guys I grew up watching that were the stars of the league are slowly being whittled out, right? Like, Ovi's at the end, and Crosby is almost at the end, and some of those, like, Thornton is already gone. Like, some of those guys are already out. Obviously, all those Sabres are already out. They have one active NHL player left that played for them in the playoffs. I'm sorry, I didn't need to throw that in. But, you know what I mean, like, he's going to be like one of my last favorite players growing up that's left going. So I think it will be very cool when he breaks it. There's always that Russian stigma, too, with players that I think he always had to fight against, but that's probably ancient history at this point. So, yeah, he's my version of that, I think. The Capitals are not. I mean, they only won one Stanley Cup with him, but he's my version of that that you have for the Oilers.
I am actually really happy he won a Stanley Cup. I'm glad. I'm glad we're not sitting here at this time going, oh my God, he still hasn't won a cup, and when's it going to happen? I'm glad he did. Real quick, let's get Walter in before we get to Paul, who's going to join us here in a little while. If you could bring Walter up, Josh, I'd appreciate it. Go ahead, Walter, you're on the Extra Point Show.
Hey, gentlemen, good morning. I was telling your screener, I've been having problems with the Odyssey app up here in Canada. I haven't been able to listen to you guys other than being in the radio, in the car. So hopefully that can get solved, because I really miss listening to you guys. A couple of points I'd like to make. I know you're pressed for time. I agree with you, Sal, about the Ovechkin thing. You got to remember, how many goals did he get on 3-on-3 hockey? I mean, that's really skewed the stats. You put Gretzky.
I don't think it has. I don't know. How many has he had, really?
I don't think he has.
Can we look that up, Joe?
I'll look it up.
I'd venture to say it's going to be like 20, 25. He's had a lot.
I'm just saying, we don't want to go too far down this road, Walter, because I've got empty net stats for Gretzky versus Ovechkin ready to go, cocked at any point.
Well, Joe, you know what? I love you, but you do have a bit of a youth bias, because in all your
discussions
about Woods, and hey, to my mind.
And I have an old man bias, Walter. You and I have an old man bias, so it happens either both ways.
How can you top Jack Nicholson, right? Come on, best golfer. Yeah.
Nicholas! Come on,
Jack
come on, Walter.
Nicholas, yeah.
Hey, yeah, I'm just kidding.
No, real quick, Walter, because we do have Paul. Do you agree with me? You're a hockey fan. Oilers of the 80s, any better collection of talent you've ever seen?
You know what? I got to agree with that. They should have had another cup, but they lost that incredible series to the Flames. But they should have had a bunch in a row, because the Islanders had four in a row. That's pretty good hockey in the modern era. But yeah, I mean, the Oilers, they changed the rule just for Gretzky.
They did.
They did. You know, the 4-on-4. They went offsetting penalties. They made them play 5-on-5 because Gretzky was just eating them up. So can you imagine if you had 3-on-3 overtime?
I know, that's right. Mm-hmm. That is, and that's such a great point, Walter. You're right. Thanks for the call. That is one point I always point to as well, Joe. They literally changed the rules because the Oilers were so good in the 80s.
Yep.
It used to be, you know, you get two penalties, coincidental minors, you go 4-on-4. And then now, like it is today. But they changed it because the Oilers would do it on purpose just so they could score on you.
Right. Wow.
And they went 5-on-5 for years.
Yeah.
I mean,
like, I'm good to table this until, like, end of next year or the beginning of the season after. I'm good to table a lot of this stuff. I'm not saying I think Alex Ovechkin is in any way a better hockey player than Wayne Gretzky was. But I'm just not that. Walter's not even doing it all the way, obviously. But there's a Game of Thrones speech where King Robert says to Ned, like, there's a war coming. I don't know who's going to be fighting it, but it's coming. And that's me right now with, I don't know who's going to be fighting it, but there is a war coming when Ovechkin breaks that record that I'm going to have to fend off, you know, all the excuses as to why he has the record when, by the way, Gretzky didn't have to deal with 2.5 lockouts and a COVID shutdown losing games like Ovechkin did. See, I'm already wrapped up and ready to go. I got to stop.
And we went too long to get to Paul. So we'll do that when we come back here. Good start to the show today. We have Eric Henry joining us on the Texas Longhorns wide receiver at the top of the hour. I'm going to do more on this Ovechkin stuff. I got some really good stats, and we'll kind of put to some trivia maybe when it comes to the NHL and goal scoring. We'll come back. We'll have Paul Hamilton after this on WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Paul Hamilton.
We should be friends.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
Fanuff just pooped his pants.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Okay, we are following a, it appears, a story here from, so the Twitter account of O.J. Simpson has tweeted that O.J. Simpson has passed away, and it appears it's one of his children that has posted this. And I'm not just reading this just offhanded. Other news outlets, including WBEN, have tweeted about it and said this and pointed it out. So we don't have like an official confirmation here, but the official Twitter account of O.J. Simpson has what says, on April 10th, our father, Orenthal James Simpson, succumbed to his battle with cancer. He was surrounded by his children and grandchildren. During this time of transition, his family asks that you please respect their wishes of privacy and grace, signed the Simpson family. So just so everybody's aware, we're on that. We're looking at that, and it appears as though that's very likely here from this post that O.J. Simpson has passed away. And obviously, like I said, WBEN has tweeted about it as well. But we'll let you know as soon as we get any more confirmation or hear anything on that. In the meantime, Paul Hamilton joins us here on the West Her Hotline. Paul, did you hear what I said about the Edmonton Oilers earlier? The old Oilers?
I did. I just briefly want to say with O.J. Simpson, I'll tell you what, I'm talking about football only. The best running back I've ever seen. I did not see Jim Brown.
Right.
So I won't say he's the best ever because I didn't see Jim Brown. But by far, and you know what? It's by far, and there have been a lot of great running backs since O.J. Simpson, but I've never seen anything like it.
Well, when people ask me who the greatest Buffalo Bills ever are, I say there's two. It's Bruce Smith and O.J. Simpson. I just think that those are the two greatest Buffalo Bills ever to me.
Yeah, no, he was...
Football-wise.
I mean, teams... I mean, Joe Ferguson would throw 10, 12 passes a game. Teams game plan for that. They knew it, and he'd still roll up 275 yards rushing. It was just phenomenal the way he could turn a football game. And as I said, I'm just talking about football only. I'm not talking about the other stuff.
And we all know that anytime we talk about him now, it's always got to be couched with that. And we understand that, and we do it, and it, right? Because you feel weird saying it. And I understand why you say that, and I would do the same thing. Edmonton Oilers of the 80s, greatest collection of talent you've ever seen in sports? It is for me.
Pretty close, yeah. The Montreal Canadiens of Scotty Bowman would rival it.
Yeah.
But those would probably be the top two. I would put them ahead of the Islander teams of Trottier, Bossy, Potvin. I would put the Oilers ahead of that. Not that those teams were bad by any stretch of the imagination, but for what they were able to accomplish, just a great team.
Alex Ovechkin is most likely going to break Wayne Gretzky's all-time scoring record. He's in town tonight. What do you just overall, just your off-the-cuff thoughts about Alex Ovechkin's career? Finally getting a Stanley Cup a few years ago. He might be, when it's all said and done, the greatest all-time goal scorer as far as numbers are concerned. What do you think about his career overall?
Yeah, and it was weird this year because I was wondering, okay, has he finally hit the wall, you know, at his age? And then he went on this crazy streak at the end of the year, And, you know, he needs to average maybe 24 goals in the next two seasons, and he's got it. And my thought is, what Alex Ovechkin are we going to see next year? You know, is it the one that we saw in the second half of the season, or has age caught up with him? You know, what kind of season has it been? And he's probably not the best shooter I've ever seen, but he's pretty close to it. I think Mike Bossy might be the best pure shooter I ever saw, but he's pretty close to it. I mean, the way he can just – and the thing is, too, teams know what he's going to be doing. On the power play, they know where he's going to be. He's been there for how many years? Never been anyplace else, and he's always open. Always open. But
yeah,
everybody knows where he is. It's like, this is no secret. How is he always open for this, taking this big booming shot on the power play?
Yeah, I always think of him, Paul, whenever, like earlier in the season, maybe we did more of this, of, hey, how come they can't get Tage Thompson the puck on the power play in the same spot? They're focusing so much attention. And I'm always like, I don't know how they do it, but somehow for 15 years, Washington always finds a way to get it to Ovechkin, and it's not like the penalty kill isn't focused on him.
And he's most times he's wide open. It's just like, well, wait a minute. There's no secret here. How is this happening?
Nine times he's led the NHL in total goals scored, Alex Ovechkin. In town tonight as the Sabres take on the Capitals. It is the final home game of the season. It's fan appreciation night. What kind of atmosphere do you expect on the final home game of the season after, now that we know this team is going to miss the playoffs again for a 13th straight season, the first game after they were officially eliminated?
Well, this is a pretty weird fan appreciation night with the way things have gone between the fans and this team.
Mm-hmm.
And but I will say this, that they've won six of their last eight games here at home, and the fans have been good. You know, even that first game they lost, I believe it was to Winnipeg, I didn't hear anybody boo. But, you know, I think that's all. They just want to see effort. They want to see you play well. And as I said, when all this garbage was going on between the players and the fans, just win. That's all you got to do. If you win, make the playoffs, this all goes away. Your fans are going to love you. They're going to be like they've been the last eight games, every game. And they're not going to be jumping down your throat all the time. So, and the Sabres have to get mentally tougher, too. They can't be worried about the fans booing. They can't be worried about what I say or you say or what the fans say. All that matters is what goes on behind closed doors in that room. And they've got to get mentally tougher when it comes to that kind of stuff. They can't be worried about all the, quote, outside noise that they worry about.
And I read that. I saw that the other night when it was said by Tage. We listened to it yesterday. I heard the audio, actually. And I just don't know what he's talking about. What outside noise? I mean, this playing in this media market, as opposed to a lot of other ones, as you know, is quite — this is not Toronto or Montreal when it comes to hockey. And it's a smaller market anyway when it comes to sports. And I understand that there have been a few things along the way. Come on, Paul. Like, I mean, this team is not facing, like, adversity after adversity. There's not even a storyline like a Stephon Diggs, like we deal with the Bills all the time when it comes to the Sabres.
I think it's media. It's also fans. I've never seen this fan base this toxic. It's not even close when it comes to this team. It is extremely toxic. And sometimes it gets to me just, you know, as vicious as I got to read all day long when it comes to that kind of stuff. And again, they just got to ignore it. Get off Twitter. You know, stop reading the paper. Get off Twitter and just don't worry about it. He's not the only one. I know Cousins has brought it up before. I know Kyle Laposo talked about it, and I could tell when Kyle was talking about it, it drove him crazy. He would just be like, what are we doing here? We can't be worried about that kind of stuff. And I know he was trying to get that out of some of these players, but he's like fighting a losing battle. He's outnumbered. They don't have that many veterans. It's basically him and Eric Johnson. And but I knew it bugged him, that it bugged his teammates, that they were paying attention to that kind of stuff. And this one of the biggest things, well, there are a lot of things to talk about with this team, but one of the biggest things is this team needs to get mentally tougher on the ice during games and with this kind of stuff.
Do you think that can happen internally? Or do you think they need — I mean, I'm not saying like a guy that plays 8 minutes a night on the fourth line. Like, is one of their acquisitions this summer need to be with some mind towards replacing the leadership that Okposo had, but maybe with a better player?
And just more than one. And it has to be, you know, something that doesn't get talked about here is, you know, Kevin Adams, his people got him to think that Eric Johnson was going to help. Yeah, Eric Johnson going to help in the locker room, but he was not good 5-on-5. It passed him by. And whatever recommendations he got to bring Eric Johnson in here, yeah, he helped to kill penalties and everything, but it was not a good acquisition for them, and they didn't make many acquisitions. So that didn't help that they got in a bad one there. So that has to be better too. The staff has to be better in who they're looking at and who they're going to bring in. And they got to stop looking for 5'10", 185-pound players.
Final home game of the season tonight, Paul. We got to let you go. UPL in goal tonight. Is that?
What it's looking like here. So he will be in net for this one.
And what about real quickly? No Byram on the ice right now.
I do not see Byram down there. No, we'll find out when we talk to Don Granato in a little bit. He's the only one missing here in the morning skate.
We'll hear from you on pregame 6 o'clock here on WGR. Thanks, Paul.
Sounds great, guys. Take care.
All right, you got it. It is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And, of course, whenever we have Paul Hamilton on the air, I got to find his read here. Let me grab that for you somewhere here. Where is Paul Hamilton's read? Here we go. All right, Paul Hamilton, whenever he's on WGR, his reports are brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Okay, Joe, ABC News is now reporting as well that O.J. Simpson has passed away, according to his family, O.J. Simpson. That was posted on his official Twitter account by his family, and now ABC News is reporting it as well. So that appears to be the case today. When we come back, I want to do a little bit more on this Ovechkin thing and talk about the players right now in the NHL and some of the better goal scorers, but also we're going to get ready to talk to Eric Henry, not Derek, Eric Henry. I keep wanting to say Derek Henry, who covers the Texas Longhorns. That's on A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Worthy. We'll get with him at 11:05 coming up here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Oh, Joseph. Alex Ovechkin, you hear that music? Obviously, he's going to be he might be the greatest goal scorer ever when it's all said and done. It looks like that. But he is, of course, the top goal scorer right now in the NHL. How many of the top, I don't know, 5, 6, 10 can you get? Current? Active NHL career goal leaders.
Of the top 10?
How many can you get? I don't know. Just give me... how far can you go?
So, I can do Ovechkin.
Okay.
Stamkos.
He's third.
Crosby.
He's second.
Malkin.
He's fourth. You have the top four. Bam! Good job.
Okay. Kane.
He's sixth.
Tavares.
He's eighth.
Okay.
You're missing 5, 7.
Pavelski.
The top 8 so far. Joe Pavelski is number 5, yes.
Yep.
This guy, you want me to give you a hint on number 7?
Sure.
He played for the Sabres.
Played for the Sabres.
Very briefly. Not long ago.
Okposo? No.
Nope.
Wait, that was
2 years ago. It'd be 4 years ago now. I guess. Well, within the past 4 or 5 years.
Oh,
but
is this going to be a guy? Is this Eric Staal?
Yes.
I don't think he's. Is he active still?
Oh, you know what? He's listed as active, but you're right.
Because he hasn't retired?
He did not play this year. That's right. He has not played this year.
Okay, but because he hasn't officially retired. That makes sense.
So I'll give you a credit for that.
So
that is, you do have the top 8. You want to try a couple more?
9 and 10 is what I need.
If you want to try that.
Could McKinnon be that high already? Oh, wait.
He is not.
Kucherov.
No, he's not that high. Kucherov, he's pretty far down, actually. Don't even see him here.
Okay.
This guy plays currently for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Oh. Jeff Carter.
Yes. And then number 10.
Is Claude Giroux?
Currently plays for the Avs.
After the end of a good fight,
You deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Really?
Played most of his career with, let's see, looks like Minnesota.
Oh, wait, that did not help me. most of his career with Minnesota.
Also played quite a while for the Devils. That's where I would know him from.
Minnesota in New Jersey. Who the?
Yes.
What? Is Zach Parise in the league still?
Yes.
I didn't even know he was in the league still. Okay, Colorado.
Yeah, there you go. There's your top 10. But Joe, what's interesting is out of everybody, not any of those guys, none of them. There is one guy on pace that could actually be the all-time greatest goal scorer if he continues his pace, because he's averaging more goals per game in his career than Alex Ovechkin. It's not any of them. Current.
Wow.
Current, active, goals per game leader. And this is not like a guy who's only played a couple years. He's been in the league, what, 7 years now?
Yeah.
8? Who is it? Who's the current active goals per game leader in the NHL?
Oh, Matthews.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, right, duh. 60, is it 67 is he up to this year? He's really high.
I mean, he's been in his 8th year in the league now. But Ovechkin is .599, like right at .6. He's 6.54, .654. Like, Austin Matthews is the guy, not Connor McDavid, that's really on pace to break the all-time goals record if you go by goals per game.
Wow. He's going to get 70. Have you seen the last time that someone had 70?
Teemu Selanne, Alexander
Mogilny? It was Selanne and Mogilny.
Yep.
That hasn't happened since Selanne and Mogilny. Yeah. It is. The OJ news is all over ESPN and everything now, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, it is. It's going to be a lot of today.
It's going to dominate today for sure.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. And,
yep.
Yeah. So OJ Simpson has passed away, apparently, according to multiple reports. We will take a time out. We'll come back. We'll have Eric Henry, who covers the Texas Longhorns. We'll talk about A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Worthy, a couple of wide receivers who possibly could be Buffalo Bills coming up in just a couple of weeks. We'll do that when we return on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Joe DiBiase. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, welcome back here to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We are still tracking the developing story. O.J. Simpson has passed away at the age of 76, according to his family. That was posted on his official Twitter or X account by family members, and it has since been picked up and reported by many, many multiple media outlets, including ESPN, ABC News, as well as us here at Odyssey in Buffalo. You can find more on our website shortly at WGR550.com. WBEN is on the story as well. Obviously, a huge, huge national story about O.J. Simpson passing away, but even more so, I would say, here in Buffalo because of the impact he had here in Buffalo playing for the Buffalo Bills and being notable here in Buffalo for his playing career, even before what happened with Nicole Brown and Ron Goldman and the Bronco chase and the subsequent acquittal and all the things that we talk about with O.J. Simpson. So we'll have more of that, like I said, throughout the day. I'm sure that you're going to be reading about it and hearing about it, but a significant day here, no doubt. And Joe, it is the this year is the 30th anniversary year of the White Bronco chase with O.J. Simpson, actually.
I can guarantee you I will be taking some time out. Probably not this weekend because it is Masters Week, but in the next little bit on the O.J. Made in America documentary.
Yes.
It was, what was it, five parts that ESPN it's 30 for 30 did, and it was incredible.
Fascinating. Yes, yeah. Really is. It really is. So we'll stay on top of that today, and like I said, WBEN will have more coverage as well on the passing of O.J. Simpson. In the meantime, let's head out to the West Her Hotline right now, where Eric Henry is going to join us. Now, Eric is a Texas Longhorns beat writer for Horns 247 and at CBS Sports as well. And, of course, they have a couple of really, really interesting wide receivers, A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Worthy. Maybe one or even both of them could wind up in Buffalo Bills uniforms in a couple of weeks. The NFL draft is 2 weeks from tonight. Eric, it's Sal and Joe here in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, guys, not a problem. Definitely kind of a odd day to be joining you guys, but I'm more than happy to hop on and talk a little Texas football, specifically Xavier Worthy and A.D. Mitchell.
No doubt, and it is. It's a day, obviously, that's going to be dominated, I think, by a lot of the O.J. discussion, you know, online and on radio. And here in Buffalo, obviously, he played for the Buffalo Bills, so that'll be a discussion here in Buffalo. But in the meantime, we do have the NFL draft coming up in a couple of weeks, and want to get your thoughts on a couple guys you've watched up close and personal, A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Worthy. First question for you, how do you exactly pronounce A.D. Mitchell's actual name?
Oh, man, I love that you asked that. I think you might have been one of the first people to actually ask instead of just going at it full-throated. It's Adonai. So just Adonai. Adonai Mitchell.
So it is three syllables, though. It's not two, Adonai. It's Adonai.
Correct. Correct.
All right. Okay. Adonai Mitchell. Do you call him AD or do you call him Adonai?
You know what? He actually has no preference. I was calling him AD up until the point when I think – really around, I'd say, the later stages of the season when it's like, all right, you know, Adonai really isn't that hard. We'll just give him his given name. So I've been calling him Adonai as of late.
Okay, well, we'll kind of go back and forth here while we talk with him for sure. Go ahead, Joe.
And Xavier Worthy, I'm sure. We're pronouncing that correct? That one's a little easier.
Yes, that is Well, it's funny enough, some people call him Xavier, but it is Xavier, but you got it.
Xavier.
Okay,
right.
You got it. Do you call him X? People, sometimes when your name's Xavier, you call a guy X.
Yes, the only person who doesn't call him X is Steve Sarkisian.
Okay,
all right. Well, I think, are you guys in spring practices right now in Texas? Are you covering that?
Yes, I'm taking this from the car because Steve Sarkisian has his bi-weekly press conference, actually the third one this week. Heading over to the facility for 11 o'clock presser.
Well, let's talk about a couple of these guys, and I appreciate you doing that then because I know you're very busy this week in covering spring practices. Let's start with A.D. Adonai Mitchell. You know, obviously, these are guys that are both very talented, but you can kind of talk about the differences in them. But let's just start with him. What traits does he bring that are going to translate well to the NFL game?
Yeah, the big thing with Adonai that I really like about him, and I've seen – some of the projections kind of, you know, talk about the fact that he didn't produce. And just in terms of the sheer volume of production that maybe some guys like Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, listen, it's not an apples to apples comparison. You're talking about a guy who spent his first few seasons at Georgia, won back-to-back national titles, was part of an offense that had several weapons. But just in terms of his playing style, one of the big things that I like about him, bigger guy, 6'3", 6'4", 205 pounds, very fluid, smooth route runner. And the way he tracks the ball in the air, for any Bill fans, this highlight is readily available on YouTube. I would recommend watching the TCU game. There was a throw as Texas was kind of – they had given up a big lead and were trying to eventually just ice the game and keep TCU from coming back. And A.D. Mitchell makes an adjustment on a ball from Quinn Ewers, who it was Quinn's first game back from an AC joint sprain, so he certainly wasn't 100%. But is a third down play, and Sark, being, you know, typically an aggressive guy that he's on third down, could have run the ball and maybe seen what happened, but he chooses to throw, makes a hell of an adjustment on the ball that's behind him over his opposite shoulder, falling to the ground to catch the ball. That's the type of catch radius, just ability to track the football, that I think, in my mind, is in terms of just next level projection, is one of AD's or Adonai's best traits.
Why did he transfer from Georgia?
Yeah, the reason he transferred, and he hasn't vocalized this outright, but AD has a young child, and he's from the Texas area. So it was really to get closer back to, you know, his young child and to be closer to family.
What does he do that might not translate as well? What are the questions about Mitchell that you've at least seen prop up, or maybe that you have yourself about after you've watched him play, about him going to the NFL?
I mean, okay, if we're going to really get into the quote-unquote lack of volume production, I can appreciate that because, I mean, sure, there is something to be said about a guy, again, we'll use a Romo Dunze, a Malik Nabers, a Marvin Harrison Jr., who you have 2 or 3 years of 1,000-yard seasons and high-volume receptions. But I also think, in my mind, guys, it depends on what you're asking him to be, and quite frankly, this is applicable to Xavier Worthy as well. If you're asking him, if you're taking a receiver in the top 5, top 10, you're probably asking that guy to come in and be a Justin Jefferson, a Jamar Chase, right? Step in and be that number one guy immediately. But if you're taking someone in, you know, the 20s or 30s, in my mind, I think you're with a better team and you're probably asking them. Now, of course, this may not be applicable to Buffalo. We all know their situation with Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis as well, right? Maybe you're asking whoever you draft to step in and be more of an impact player. But with X and with Adonai, I think any concerns you have about quote-unquote lack of volume production should really be alleviated if you're sticking that guy in and asking him to be a number two and then kind of seeing where his progression goes.
What about in terms of like some of the effort stuff with Mitchell, and maybe beyond that? You know, there's been, I've seen concerns about his blocking, and he even said at the combine that he doesn't often run routes at full speed, which I think he had a somewhat reasonable approach or explanation for that. But in terms of, like, I don't know, if he's built for the regimented schedule of the NFL and the responsibilities of becoming a pro, like, is that noise right now to you? Is that real? Like, what would your response be to a lot of that kind of stuff?
I'll start with the blocking first. I find that interesting. I'd have to go back and see specifically what question was asked to Adonai and what his response was. Because I'll say this, and just to be blunt with you guys, of all the non-linemen on Texas's offense in terms of blocking, the liability wasn't A.D. Mitchell or even Xavier Worthy. In terms of those guys gave effort, if you really want to look at the liability, it was Jatavion J.T. Sanders. I mean, that was the guy at tight end who, quite frankly, you know, left a lot to be desired in terms of being a blocker, right? So I'd actually be interested in learning kind of more about what he said specifically. But in terms of the route running, I think part of that is just a byproduct of this offense. I mean, at times, I'll say this again, you know, for Bills fans, and I'm sure these games are available on YouTube. There was a 2-game stretch. It was the Kansas State game and, gosh, the Kansas State and BYU game were the games that Quinn Ewers was injured and Malik Murphy stepped in at quarterback. And Malik, for whatever reason, Malik and Adonai had a certain connection. I'd go back and watch those games and see his effort and his route running there, because I think this is just my feel in terms of my recollection of last year. When you know that you're the number one guy and, quite frankly, the play calls are catered to you, because Malik Murphy did not have a connection with Xavier Worthy. For whatever reason, they could not get on the same page. And Steve Sarkisian was as open as you expect a head coach to be, right? You know, he didn't quite come out and say it, but he kind of hinted and intimated at the fact that, hey, this offense, for whatever reason, Adonai and Malik Murphy have more of a connection. We're going to shift some of the play calling towards AD. And you saw aggressive route running. Quite frankly, I maybe not the most polished route runner, but a guy who had no issues getting open.
It says, I know I'm looking at his numbers here. I mean, obviously we know he's fast, 4.3440 at the combine. But I'm wondering about his rack ability. The Bills have talked a lot about rack this offseason. They want guys who, because what's happening is, as you know, Eric, you know, teams now, defenses in the NFL are playing a lot more split safeties, high safeties. They're just putting a shell above the top. They're not allowing guys like Josh Allen to throw over the top. So you got to do something underneath with the ball in your hands. So what is his ability with the ball in his hands?
Yeah, I would say we didn't see much of that last year. I mean, AD's a guy, again, as you talked about, right? The speed is certainly there. if we're talking about run after catch, the guy was certainly Xavier Worthy in this offense. Again, I think part of that is a byproduct of the play calling. Steve Sarkisian, I asked him this question entering last season because Quinn Ewers wasn't one of the top deep ball throwers in the nation, despite the fact that he has, you know, two guys running but sub 4.4, 4.3 times, right? And Sark said, hey, you know, essentially the gain is the same thing. If we get the ball next to his hands and he takes it, you know, for a 3-yard pattern, he takes it 40 yards, we're accomplishing the same thing. So quite frankly, I think some of the play calls where you may have seen AD run decoy routes, or quite frankly, even another guy like Jordan Whittington, someone who will be fighting for a roster spot as, you know, maybe a late round pick or undrafted free agent, were much more, in terms of rack ability, those guys were more targets in this offense.
All right, let's talk about Worthy. 4.2140, breaks the record. I mean, obviously, the blazing speed is there. The question is maybe about his frame, right? 5'11", 165. Now, look, Devontae Smith did quite well, you know, and there was a lot of questions about him coming out of Alabama, goes to the Philadelphia Eagles. But what kind of questions do you have about that translating to the NFL?
The size thing, I take a deep sigh only because Xavier Worthy has played, and like you said about Devontae Smith, it's not like these guys haven't played at that size their entire career, and Xavier Worthy has never shown an inability to, you know, to get open or create separation. To be honest with you, the biggest question mark that I have, or question marks that I would have about Xavier Worthy are his sophomore season, and granted, I wasn't covering the team in 2022, but from people who are around the team in 2022, his effort was, or I should say his how engaged he was, definitely at times. And he even came out and said it entering last year, that he had to really recommit himself in terms mentally and just effort-wise into the game of football. Now, he did have a broken hand, and that certainly played a factor, or you would assume it'd play a factor for a receiver. But that's the thing that I have, is just kind of getting that consistent 100% guy who is engaged, bought into what you are trying to accomplish as a program, or in this case, as an organization. That'd be the first thing. The second thing is, and this is kind of, again, iffy, I think Xavier Worthy is an efficient route runner in terms of the route tree. I think he does enough and provides enough, but there are some people, you know, amongst the pro ranks I've spoken to, have said that that is a question mark. I'm interested to see kind of, you know, and guys, is it, I'll use the Randy Moss factor, right? Randy Moss had a quote where it's like, yeah, you know, one of the knocks on him was the route tree. Well, what does the route tree matter if you're just smoking everybody, right? Like that certainly plays a factor, but those would be the two things in terms of Xavier Worthy in my mind that come to, in terms of, you know, question marks.
Do you think he has the size or the physicality that he could, well, or maybe does it matter that he could become kind of a high volume target guy in the league? Like, the Bills need a role right away, but with Diggs gone, like, they're going to need someone to eat up a high volume of targets, especially long term. Like, I don't know, what do you think Worthy's peak is for that? Like, how many he can handle, or maybe there is no limit, even though he's so, you know, thin at least.
No, listen, I'm glad you asked that question, because if you take a look at Xavier Worthy's numbers in 2022, and both Steve Sarkisian and Xavier Worthy will point to the broken hand, they're open about the fact that, hey, and I don't have the exact numbers on me, but it was something like 112, 115 targets to only get, you know what, 50-something, 60-something receptions, right? That's about 50, high 50s, low 60s percent in terms of targets versus receptions. This year, completely different. Steve Sarkisian said to us, hey, you know, this year we've been able to throw X 10, 11 balls, and he's getting 6, 7, 8, 9 catches, as opposed to last year, we have to kind of force-feed 15, 16 passes his way to just get 6 or 7 receptions. So do I think that he can be a volume guy? If you'd asked me that question prior to this year, I would have said no. But I think this year really put a lot on film that you could say, hey, this is a guy who, if we use him correctly, right, we can throw him 13 passes, 14 passes. If he comes down with 8 or 9, obviously that's helping your offense's efficiency and someone who can handle it. Now, the second part of that, if you're just asking me who do I think Xavier Worthy is in the NFL, I think he's a DeSean Jackson. And again, I don't have DeSean Jackson's numbers off the top of my head here, but I can remember certain years when he was a, what, you know, 50-catch guy, 60-catch guy for 1,100 yards. Maybe he's not a 100-catch guy or even an 85-catch guy, right? But if you get 60, 65 receptions and you're getting – 16, 17, 18, 19 yards per reception. I think that's optimal usage of Xavier Worthy.
And you know what? I'm really glad you said that because I'm looking here. I'm just looking at his stats. He did do some punt returning, and that's really important right now with the new rules. We just saw Deontay Hardy sign with the Ravens yesterday. He was the Bills' return man last year, had that big return against the Dolphins in Week 18. We saw the Steelers go out right away and get Cordarrelle Patterson after the owners' meetings. They changed that rule. So as a return man, it looks like Worthy can do that. What about Mitchell? Can they both do that? Is it just Worthy's game, and how good is he at that?
No, I don't believe that AD has, quite frankly, ever done any punt return. It's racking my brain here. Even in the depth chart, I don't remember AD even being like the fourth or fifth emergency guy. But Xavier Worthy, undoubtedly. And quite frankly, I'd like to see X even as a kick returner. I think, again, if you're going to draft him in the 20s and you want to get optimal value, get the ball in his hands and let him make plays. But especially in the punt return game, again, racking my brain here, which one was it he took one to the house? I think it was TCU, if memory serves me correct, but a very, very dangerous punt returner.
I'm looking right now. I'm going to look at his game logs. I'm going to test you on that because it sounds like you're right. You know your stuff. So I'm going to say TCU is probably exactly what it was, but we'll find that out. I do want to ask you before we let you go. Tavondre Sweat obviously gets in some legal trouble here. What are you hearing about how that might, you know, impact? What do you think about that impacting his draft status? And we've seen these kinds of things happen before, but, you know, where he is and maybe what is going to be thought about him heading into the next 2 weeks.
It's a really tough situation for T Sweat because you're talking about someone who, for all intents and purposes, had done everything right leading up to the draft as far as answering the questions. His weight, he came in at a weight that, quite frankly, was about what you would expect. There were some people who were guessing that he could have come in the 380s, 390s, came in right around his playing weight, you know, did everything right there. Before I was covering the program, but there were some people around the team who said that Sweat was a bit of a, you know, party animal, a guy who liked to be out on Sixth Street. You know, he answered those questions and was seemingly very upfront about those things with scouts. And listen, that man was focused and dedicated and everything you could have asked for from a player last year in our interactions with him. So this is really a setback in my mind. And this is just my belief, guys. You can call me a softy, but I've been around, I've covered college football for 8-9 years now. I still remember these are 17 to 24 year old kids. And at times when you're around them as close as we are, they do dumb things. The good thing is that this incident did not harm anybody. Because obviously when you get behind the wheel of a car and you're intoxicated, we know what can happen there. But yeah, it's definitely something that I think is a knock on him, and we'll see. I think it's going to affect him. How much? I think, you know, that remains to be seen.
You have another one on Sweat, Sal?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
On running back Jonathan Brooks.
Yes. There's one there too.
What do you know about his timeline? Because I'm very into dynasty fantasy football and just tracking running backs throughout the college season. Like, most people had him as, oh, this is going to be the first running back you pick in the spring. Then he tears the ACL. So, I don't know. Like, what do you know about timeline and, like, how long or how much that could impact him, but also just how long he might be out?
I promise, guys, I did cover the entire season and not just the TCU game. However, it was the TCU game that Jonathan Brooks tore his ACL. So, I think that was late October, early November, right? So, I mean, you take a look at the timeline in today's day and age. I would expect him, and everything that we've heard is that he can be at least ready to kind of start getting back into you know, real football things by the time a training camp would open in August. Is he going to be ready opening day? I think that's certainly a stretch, right? But certainly someone who, listen, and you talked about it in your question, he was, and in my mind is, still the RB1 in this draft, and I'm not going to let that ACL deter me from getting someone of his capabilities.
It was BYU, by the way, that had the punt return. BYU. But hey, look, what's a BYU versus TCU amongst friends, right? I mean, come on.
Exactly.
Before I let you go, Eric Henry, by the way, very kind to join us here in Texas, going to have their spring practice, and Steve Sarkisian is going to speak, so he's got to go. Some college basketball news. Apparently, Scott Drew is staying at Baylor, not too far down the road from you, instead of taking the Kentucky job. What do you think about that?
No, I said, oh, wow, because I hadn't checked on it since early this morning I woke up. And I thought, sure, he would take that Kentucky job. I mean, here's what I'll say. I covered a game at the new Baylor facility this year, and that is one of the top college basketball environments. It's not to say that, you know, Rupp Arena is certainly legendary, but I'm only saying this to say I think they're really and you can't even say building something because they've won a national championship, but they have something special there 90 minutes up the road in Waco. But this isn't a guy who had been at Baylor for 4 or 5 years. He's been there nearly two decades. So I guess in my mind, that's always a little surprise that, you know, he's done, he's achieved the pinnacle you can at Baylor. It's been a national championship. So definitely a little surprise that he didn't, you know, test the waters, but that's interesting.
Here, you know what a name, Joe, you're going to love this or you're going to hate it. I don't know. Here's the name. Our colleague, Andrew Filippone in Pittsburgh, is reporting that a name on the short list might be Sean Miller to Kentucky. What a fit that would be, guys.
Sean Miller. Is he not under an FBI probe anymore? It must be over.
Oh, my gosh. Eric, thank you so much for joining us. I know you have a lot to get to today. We really appreciate it. And who knows? Maybe the Bills will land one of these Texas guys or somebody else from the University of Texas, and we'll hit you up again after the draft, man.
Absolutely. Sounds good. Appreciate you guys having me on.
All right, you got it. That is Eric Henry. You can follow him on Twitter, by the way, at Eric C. Henry _. He is a Texas Longhorns beat reporter for Horns 24/7 and CBS Sports.
So
Sean Miller. I mean, that's what Filippone's tweeting.
I mean, it's incredible. Where is he, Xavier, right now? The two betting favorites to be the next Kentucky coach after Coach Cal left were Sean Drew and or Scott Drew, right? Nate Oates. And
yes.
They've both now basically said, I'm not taking the Kentucky.
Has Nate Oates said that? Now, I haven't seen that.
He sent a tweet out. There was speculation. I think Paul Feinbaum even said, connected Oates to the Kentucky job. It was at least being talked about. And Oates put out a statement, I'm trying to find it, that basically said, I'm staying at Alabama. I'm not taking
okay, because as soon as, as soon as the Calipari stuff was announced, I thought, oh, they're going to get Nate Oates. I did not know, and then someone told me, oh, no, he's got like over $10 million, like $18 million buyout or something, whatever.
He's a big buyout. Yeah, he's a big
buyout.
Now,
granted, Kentucky can pay that if they want. I mean,
yes.
You're right?
But, no, they can.
Yeah, that's a lot.
The statement he put out ended, there was a long paragraph about being committed to Alabama, and then the last sentence was, despite any rumors to the contrary, rest assured that I will continue that pursuit as your head coach, Roll Tide. And he had just signed an extension a couple of weeks ago. I think he's pretty much, that's as much as you can say to say I'm not taking the Kentucky job.
Calipari, in his introductory press conference, called Arkansas a blue blood program.
Oh, get out of here with the blue blood. Come on. No, there's too many. We found a list, right?
Yes.
Josh, did we get like eight down to eight teams?
Seven, actually.
Was Arkansas even mentioned?
No, they weren't even
in that list.
We had like a tier two, and they weren't even in the conversation.
Listen, Coach Cal, he's only even in Arkansas because he's got billionaire friends that are big boosters in Arkansas. Maybe that's how a lot of college sports works, but you didn't go to the Razorbacks because of the long storied history. They have a history. They were in the Elite Eight
like,
twice in the last 5 years, and I'm sure they have, you know, beyond that history, but come on. It's not a blue blood. It's not even close to a blue blood.
I mean, they won a national title in 94. They had a great team. Nolan Richardson, I mean, it was fun watching them.
Yep.
But you're right. I mean, no, they're not. I don't consider them amongst the blue bloods of college basketball for sure. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back here once again a little bit more on the O.J. Simpson news today. It is being reported and now apparently seems to be more confirmed by some media outlets that O.J. Simpson has passed away. So we'll talk about that. Sabres tonight. It is the final home game of the season downtown against the Washington Capitals. And, of course, the NFL draft 2 weeks away.
I think A.D. Mitchell definitely is that type that they don't have, that long, rangy receiver at about 6'2", 205 pounds. He runs 4.33 at the combine, which was much faster than a lot of people were guessing that he would run. But it shows up on tape with him. He's able to stretch the field vertically, but also he's really good in the short to intermediate areas as well. But one of my favorite stats about A.D. Mitchell is that 82% of his catches last year either went for a first down or a touchdown. Last time I checked, that's pretty good for a wide receiver if he's catching first downs and touchdowns all the time. So I definitely think he could be an asset in Buffalo's wide receiver group.
Jordan Reed on A.D. Mitchell. A.D. Mitchell, Xavier Worthy. Great stuff from Eric Henry. Covers the Texas Longhorns. Had him on just a little while ago. Check that out. WGR550.com, the Odyssey app as well. Joe, do you know what Grok is? Not Gronk. Grok? 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 How do you say it?
G-R-O-K? Is this the AI thing from Twitter?
Yes, it is. It's the AI thing from Twitter. It's a great way to say it. I see sometimes these stories under the Explore tab when I'm on Twitter. And I've clicked on a few of them to read. And you could tell that these are AI generated. Like, somebody did not write this, right?
Yeah.
I want to read to you what it says about Bo Byram being out of the Sabres lineup tonight, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is from the AI Twitter machine. Here it is. In a significant turn of events, the Buffalo Sabres announced that defenseman Bowen Byram will not participate in their final home game of the season against the Washington Capitals due to a personal matter. This game holds special importance as it marks the last of the old scoreboard at the arena. The Sabres lineup...
That's amazing.
I know. The Sabres lineup will see Clegg replacing Byram for this crucial match. This development comes amidst other NHL teams, such as the Rangers and Islanders, preparing for their upcoming games with lineup adjustments and strategies in place.
That is incredible. That's incredible. The last game with the new scoreboard. Had anybody else thought of that? The last game with the new roof, too. Why stop there? The last game with the old roof. That roof's been up there since longer than the scoreboard, right? That roof's original, I think.
It is amazing.
Wow. Grok.
You got to check some of these things out, these stories, when they do it on this AI thing.
Yeah.
I've seen this happen before. I'm like, what? Who is writing this? And then I didn't know originally, like when I first started following this and noticing it not long ago. And I'm like, wait a minute. And then I realized, okay, that is not the way a normal human being would write. And it certainly wasn't. It's AI. The game holds special importance as it marks the last for the old scoreboard at the arena.
When they got that scoreboard, it was like, it was like awesome. Like, we just the new owner, right? And the logo's on it, and it's just very outdated at this point. The one they're getting next year, though, if you've ever been to the Pittsburgh Arena, I think it's PPG Paints Arena, maybe. The scoreboard there, the new one for the Sabres is supposed to be almost identical to that Pittsburgh one. So it's not going to be like the massive, takes up the whole arena scoreboard that you have in like Tampa. But it's all LED. There's screens underneath too. Like, it's going to be a big upgrade from at least what I've seen.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. You know, what we're going to see, what it's going to be like. They've had these models, the renderings of them. And yeah, it looks pretty cool. It's going to be bigger. I went to Tampa last year when the Sabres won in overtime. The defensive overtime last year. Thank you, Ilya Lyubushkin. And we were there. I was at that game in Tampa. And actually, it was super impressive, that scoreboard. Like, it was really big. You walk into that arena, and you're like, whoa, look at that thing. It kind of hits you right in the face, and you're looking at it. And once you see that, you're like, okay, this would be really cool to have, you know, in Buffalo. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the new scoreboard. That will be in place next year, right? And the roof will be in place next year, too? Like, we know for sure both these things will be done before next season starts?
I believe so. Yeah, I think this offseason they're going to be doing the scoreboard and the roof. I don't think you would have announced, they would have announced it
right
without planning on doing it before next season. I just don't know how long that would take. How long does it take to replace a roof? It's got to be
right. That's
it's got to be open, right? It's got to be open the whole time, doesn't it? That wouldn't make sense. You're not taking the whole thing off and then putting a brand new one on. I don't know. Roofing. It's not roofing tiles up there. It's like a dome kind of thing. So I actually have no clue what that's going to be like. But looking at the statement from a couple of months ago, yeah, it reads like they're going to be replacing it this summer.
I was thinking about that the other day. When I was in Brisbane, they're doing a lot of renovations and new buildings because of they're actually going to have the Summer Olympics there in 2032. And even though now is actually they're getting into their winter, that's flip-flop. So I don't exactly know what dates, but they're having the Summer Olympics there in 2032 in Brisbane. And they're doing new stadiums and upgrades to other stadiums and, you know, subways and stuff like that. You know, the transportation and things like that. So
when you see like all the work that goes into that, you think, wait a minute. And I thought about the new roof at the Sabres Arena. And yeah, I don't know. Are they going to, I don't know how exactly how much you have to do. Like if you take it off and replace it, is it just kind of cosmetic? Do we know a lot more about this yet? Like, do we have the full details and exactly what they're doing?
That, wait, sorry, that who's doing?
Like the cosmetics or the full replacement, like on the roof, the new Sabres Arena. Yeah, the roof on the Sabres Arena, like exactly what's happening. Because, again, yeah. It just feels to me like you can't just do something like that in 3 months.
Right, sorry. I was reading the statement from a couple months ago that said that. And yes. They don't really provide any details other than that they're going to install a new one. So, yeah, I'm not really sure. I wonder what, will it look any different? Like, some of those arenas, I don't know, there's different colors they use. I mean, the college barns have, like, some of the wood up there that, like, you'll see in Harbor Center. I mean, that'd be a cool feature, right? Add some character to the building in any way you can. But, yeah, I don't see any details about exactly how they're going to actually install it or what it will look like, just that they're going to have a new one.
The Sabres take on the Washington Capitals tonight. It's the final home game of the season. I have not paid much attention lately to where the Rochester Americans are. Have you? Like, do you know, are they?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's their situation?
So they're in pretty good standing right now. The AHL playoffs are pretty weird. So their site, though, theahl.com, does a very good job. If you go to their standings, don't hit standings, hit playoff primer. And it's a good explanation of how it works, where you're at, what games you have left. And the Amerks are in the North Division. Five of the seven teams in the North Division make the postseason. The top three get a bye, or really the better way to put it is 4 and 5 have a play-in to get to the next round to play the number one seed. And the Amerks right now are in the number two spot, and they are only 1 point back of Syracuse for first in the division. So they might actually win the division with five games left. And if you're wondering about them falling into, like, let's call it a play-in spot, they are 5 points clear of that. So they're certainly headed to the postseason. They're probably not going to have to play in the first round, play-in, whatever you want to call it. And they're 1 point back of the division. So they're in good shape right now with a couple games left.
Do we expect anything? Like, there's got to be guys eligible that once this season's over, the Sabres will go down. That happens every year, right? Devin Levi will go right back. He'll go play in Rochester.
Levi's already back. So, and I think maybe he's even playing. I don't know. I think some guys will go back. I'm still wondering, with the Sabres being eliminated, like, I know they are in a race 1 point back, but I guess they're just going to go the whole season without giving Jiří Kulík another game or Isaac Rosén another game in Buffalo. Right. And I know what you're thinking when I say that. What you're thinking is, well, they need them. They need them down there right now to push for the play. I mean, they're in the playoffs, but to make sure they're in the top three and to try to win the division. What I would say to that is, Lucas Rusek and Tyson Jost, like, they were doing perfectly fine. They were doing well, helping the Amerks before. Those guys are here. You're taking two of their players regardless. It's up to you whether or not you want to take their veteran guys or whether you want to take their kids. So, I don't know. I would have liked to see Rosén and Kulík here a little bit, and I don't think it would have hurt the Amerks all that much, because you would be returning two other players to them that have been high in their lineup. But, and they could still do that. There's three games left. You'd have to take them down to Florida to do that. But we're probably thinking that they're going to keep it as is, and then they'll return Rusek and maybe Jost, and if there's someone else I'm missing, maybe there's a defenseman. But they'll get a couple of guys back, yeah, for the playoffs.
Speaking of Florida, Don Granato has said that Bo Byram will rejoin the team in Florida for their last two games of the season. Let's go to Curtis before we go to a break. Curtis in Niagara Falls. Go ahead, Curtis.
Hey, how you doing, Sal? What's going on?
Hey, thanks. I'm okay. Good, thanks.
When you guys are talking about, like, Gretzky's record and OV, I wanted to call in, you know, but I said, no, I don't want to disturb these guys. They're talking about hockey. Because you had said, like, when you were younger and sports became impressionable to you, you had your guy. And this is before I got the news. Well, the Juice was my guy. And when you guys talk about records, and last week you saw guys talking about that, I wanted to call in. 143.1. That's the standard. That's what yards per game that he had in his 2,000-yard season. And the way they use running backs now, that'll never be broken. And he also, that year, I believe, he had a 5.5 yards per carry, that probably won't be broken either. You know, and it's sad that he had to go through what he went through off the field. But while like Paul was saying, he is the best running back I've ever seen. I didn't see Jim Brown play either. He is by far the best running back I've ever seen. You know, so I just want to say that. Love you guys' show. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, Curtis. I don't know if you meant to say it that way, but it's not sad for me what he had to go through. He was not a victim in any way here. Obviously, what happened in life and what he did. And that's going to be the discourse and the discussion, what happens with OJ when people start talking about trying to put it into context, because you do have the greatness of him as a football player. And of course, you have the murders and yep. the trial and everything that went on with it. And that's going to happen all day today, Joe. And that's what we're going to be reading about and how people are going to try to have to parse through all of this today. Or some people are going to be mad because of how people describe it. And I'm not mad at Curtis at all, but I think that that's just me pointing out when you talk about it, that's what we get tangled up in.
Yeah. There are people that are much more affected negatively than Bills fans for this. I want to say that on the forefront. The Goldmans, you know, any involved in the murders and the trials, Nicole Brown's family, obviously those people are affected more. But this can also be said, he robbed us of today. Today could have been a day, the day that O.J. Simpson passed away, to celebrate the arguably the greatest Buffalo Bill of all time. The greatest Buffalo Bill star of all time. Acting, right? The Naked Gun. Broadcasting. He robbed everyone of that. Today is more... It's complicated. And really, it's not even that complicated. Everyone knows what happened. It's not that complicated. But he robbed... Every Bills fan that grew up watching him and loving him, maybe the favorite player growing up, a hero to some kids watching the Bills in the 60s and 70s, he robbed every single one of them in the 90s. And today is today because of what happened 30 years ago.
Curtis brought up 143.1. He's right. 1973, the year that O.J. ran for 2,000 yards. Joe, 143 yards per game running. Jim Brown that same year, I'm sorry, 10 years before, Jim Brown, 133. But anyway, the point is that still stands, and he's right. That does still stand as the top ever yards per game rushing in a single NFL season. O.J. Simpson at 143.1. O.J. Simpson dies at the age of 76. We'll have more coverage on our website. WBEN has it. National outlets are reporting it and have coverage about that as well today. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here on the Extra Point Show to wrap up your Thursday. All right, your thoughts change on either A.D. Mitchell or Xavier Worthy. Want either of those guys, Joe, after what we heard from Eric Henry?
I think they still terrify me. They still are the two guys both? I'm a little afraid of. Yeah, really? Yeah, both. Mitchell, just, I don't know. I'm buying into, I think, some of the route running stuff, the yards per route run stats. His comments at the combine are still just weird to me about never running full speed on your routes. So I don't know. I'd be a little afraid of that. Worthy, I think, is going to be a good pro. I just am not sure he fits exactly what the Bills need in a receiver right now. They need explosive plays, but I think they need someone that you have the hope can develop into a 130 to 150 target guy.
Who's that? Who's that? Could be a lot of guys here. Yeah. I don't even know. I was listening to Chris and Steve yesterday on Troy Franklin and his thin frame as well, and they might not be able to hold up like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's not like Diggs was some muscle, you know, freak. Like, you know, guys can get their targets. Worthy, though, and maybe even Franklin, too, are like extra small when it comes to that.
We will have more on our website about the passing of O.J. Simpson. I'm sure that will be talked about today. Sabres live up next. Sabres take on the Capitals tonight in the final home game of the season. One Bills live after that. Show up with the Bulldog at 3 o'clock. We'll talk to you tomorrow on a Friday.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.